Funny, Sexy, Smart. That's Teresa Rebeck's seminar. This biting and fresh comedy examines art and truth, and all through the lens of the hilarious dialogue of Teresa Rebeck. You want to laugh? You want to wail? This is the show for you. Oh, and did we mention that it's funny? Seminar, now playing at Perseverance Theater through March 31st. For more information, visit Hearthside Books, The Jack, perseverancetheater.org, or call 463-TIXS.
Yeah, and Seminar is going to be one of the things we talk about today, right here on a Juno afternoon. How's it going, everyone? This beautiful, snowy Wednesday, the first day of spring. It looks like winter out there to me, but it is warming up. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks again for joining us, where the weather forecast is calling for sunny skies for the rest of today, then partly cloudy tonight with lows 13 to 23 degrees, cold out there. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies once again, highs around 27 degrees. Partly cloudy is the forecast through Thursday night. Then mostly cloudy skies on Friday and Friday night and through Saturday with lows around 19 degrees and highs around 36 degrees for the next few days. So some beautiful weather ahead for us here in Juneau. We're going to be talking to a couple of really amazing actors coming up. We're in seminar. We'll be talking to them right here, right after National Native News. Also going to be hearing today from the Girl Scouts. They're doing the annual Girl Scout dinner and auction. That's going to be happening Saturday at the Jack. Harrison B. is going to be here, and he is performing tonight at the Karen N. Showcase concert at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Harrison B., amazing blues artist. Maybe he'll even play a little for us. I'll ask him. We'll see if he brings his guitar. Judith Bendersky is going to be here. Going to be talking about the Medicare discussion that's happening tonight at the Junior Senior Center. And we'll hear all about Eagle Crest from the Eagle Crest folks, from Matt, Jeffra, Jake. We'll see who shows up and talks to us about what's happening up on the mountain. That's all ahead on a Juno afternoon right after this from National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Muscogee Creek Nation plans to triple the size of its casino complex, making it one of the largest in Oklahoma. KGOU's Kurt Gourney reports.
The expansion of the gaming complex in Tulsa, Oklahoma will include the construction of the city's largest hotel. The Muscogee Creek Nation is adding a $250 million addition to its River Spirit Casino. The expansion will be next to a new Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville Casino and Restaurant. The casino's chief executive, Pat Crofts, says construction will take at least a year and a half and involve about 1,800 jobs. The Muscogee Creek Nation says the project should also pump more than $200 million into the regional economy. Once the expansion is complete, the new projects could create as many as 800 full-time jobs. The new hotel will be Oklahoma's second largest with 500 rooms. Tulsa is also the home of a large Hard Rock casino and hotel operated by the Cherokee Nation. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gourney.
Wyoming Governor Matt Mead has signed a bill that will let the Northern Arapaho tribe take up to 2 bald eagles a year for religious purposes. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov has more.
The bill passed easily in both the Wyoming House of Representatives and Senate and was signed by the governor towards the end of this year's legislative session. Federal regulations currently permit falconers to capture eagles in certain livestock depredation areas, while Wyoming law previously outlawed all taking of eagles. The bill reconciles this discrepancy. Representative Patrick Goggles, who represents an area which includes the Wind River Indian Reservation, explained that the primary goal of the bill was to allow falconers to take eagles, but the Northern Arapaho tribe also benefits.
The legislation would allow for the taking of any eagle, bald or golden, anywhere in the state of Wyoming as long as the person was approved, permitted by the federal government, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission, or the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. This would allow also the tribes from the Wind River Reservation, again, they're properly permitted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, to take an eagle within the state of Wyoming.
Last year, the Arapaho tribe won permission from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to take 2 eagles, but the permit prohibits the tribe from taking the eagles on the reservation it shares with the Eastern Shoshone tribe. That's because the Shoshone tribe is opposed to the taking of eagles. This bill will allow Arapaho tribal members to make use of their permit and take eagles on land within Wyoming, but outside of the reservation. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhorov.
Today is National Native HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. Robert Foley with the National Native American AIDS Prevention Center says events are taking place nationwide.
The focus is always education awareness, and there's a heightened focus on the promotion of HIV testing, not only as a prevention measure, but also to ensure that those people are connected to the treatment resources that they need, and that receiving a test is not just about protecting yourself, but about protecting the community.
Alvin Chi is also with the organization.
Many Native communities kind of feel isolated and not really connected with the greater United States. We need to understand that it's still prevalent in our local communities. We need to have that the National Native HIV Awareness Day, a Native-based, I guess, community organization to focus on that and just have that support from there.
The Prevention Center is working on several tribal projects, including social marketing campaigns. During this month in 2011, Alaska Native musher John Baker won the Iditarod sled dog race from Anchorage to Nome. He became the first Iditarod champion from Northwest Alaska and the first Inupiat winner. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use Pick Click Give when filing online for your PFD. When you select KNBA-FM, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, you support National Native News. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
That's Junip, and that's a little bit of music from Seminar. I got to help with the music on that. I was excited to do that, and I'm excited to have in the studio with me right now Enrique Bravo and Meredith Hinckley-Schmidt, two of the fine actors who are performing in Seminar right now. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are both, we'll talk about the show a little bit here in a minute, but you guys are both from not from Juneau. So, Enrique, I guess I'll turn to you first. How did you find Juneau, and how did you come to be performing in this
play? Well, it's crazy. It's kind of a long story, but I'll give you the short version. I came up here 7 years ago for the first show, and that was for Hair. And a grad class member, Flodolino Lagundino, he was working up here. He was the marketing director for Perseverance, and he asked me if I'd be interested in coming up. And yeah, now, since then, it's I've done 13 shows up here now at this point. So
you should just move up here.
I know.
Man.
That's everybody just keeps telling me. They're like, just give it up, Bravo. Just move. But yeah, it's been 13 shows.
And where do you call
home?
Well,
I was living in New York for about 8 years, and so I kept commuting from there, like every show or so. Sometimes there'd be a couple of shows. But I've since left New York, and I'm back in Texas, sort of. I mean, I've been doing kind of three shows in a row up here, so I'm getting to where people just kind of think I do live here. I was involved in Oklahoma, and then I did the remounting of Bigfoot and Other Lost Souls, and then right after that was rehearsals for Seminar, so that's kind of kept me busy since October.
And Meredith, how about you? You've got, in your bio that I've read, Utah through Skagway through some, you know, so tell me your history of...
Yeah, I'm originally from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
But I've been living for years in Los Angeles, but coming up to Skagway to work the summer season. So I've been back and forth for 7 or 8 years.
What have you been doing there in the summer?
I work as a madam at the Red Onion Saloon.
Yeah.
We appreciate that work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so I finally just decided this past year.
A performance madam, we should say.
Definitely.
This is just recreation of the Wild West times. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to straight out say that, I mean, I kind of think it's illegal.
Well, not anymore.
So anyway, you work up Red Dog, right?
Yeah. And so I finally this year decided to just stay up here because I liked it a lot better than Los Angeles. So I have just spent my first winter in Skagway. But through my years working at the Red Onion, I met a lot of fabulous women who were tour guides there as well, who had done a lot of plays here at Perseverance, like Sarah Wiseman and Karen Gittens and Margot Youngberg and Allison Holtkamp, who's in seminar with us.
Right.
So I had some connections to the theater that way and just thought, I'll throw my hat in the ring, and decided to audition and got cast in this show.
So living in L.A., you're working, have you been a working actress in L.A.? And is that like?
Well, I went to school in Orange County.
Okay.
And, you know, my focus was always theater. I just happened to go to school in Southern California. So once I finished graduate school there, I did go to Los Angeles, and I was a company member of a couple of small theater companies there.
But
that's really all that I did. I wasn't super interested in film or television, and that's kind of why I got out of there.
Did you end up kind of dipping into that stuff a little bit, film, television stuff?
Yeah. I mean, every now and again, certainly, I would, you know, go on commercial auditions or television auditions. Yeah, you make a lot of connections that way, so it's hard not to. But yeah, it's just not really my love.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like that must be draining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To go out on those kinds of things.
It can be draining and energizing. Just depends on how the audition goes.
Yeah, right. And same with working actor in New York, maybe.
Yeah, New York. It's a huge hub for actors. So, I mean, it can be a bit of a grind. And I think that's ultimately.
And waiters.
Yeah, and waiters. Yeah, usually they go hand in hand.
And usually,
it can get to be a kind of a grind. And I kind of needed to get away. Also, I'd just been working up here so much that I was kind of, it didn't seem, it seemed pointless to just stay in New York.
There's a life beyond
here.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And
there's
also this other theater that I worked at in Rhode Island. But between both of those, Perseverance and the theater I worked in Rhode Island, I was keeping myself busy anyways.
So let's talk about Seminar. Seminar takes place in New York City. Did it ring true your experience there?
Yeah, there's so many aspects of it that I really kind of appreciate and understand. One of them is just the apartment building itself that it takes place in. I was really fortunate enough to stay at this great pre-war apartment when I just got to New York, and it was humongous. And then I would tell people how much I paid, and they would just want to punch me, because I was only paying like $500 a month, and it was four bedroom, like two bath, a living room, a bar, and so I understand how a place like this can actually exist. And because it is, it's a huge.
There's sort of stuff of legend.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
right.
In New York, these rent controls,
not
things.
Exist.
Yeah, right, right.
And also just the there's so many lines that that I follow with this script as well. I mean, you can just take out writer and put in actor, and it's the exact same, you know, issues.
Totally. The plot of this, so just as a summary, it's four young, talented, up-and-coming writers in New York City who've all gone in and invested in this class where a renowned, internationally renowned former writer and now more of a editor comes in and teaches this class to these promising students.
Right.
And so the dynamics of the writers, the dynamics of the teacher and the writers all gets kind of tangled up and interweaves and is a fascinating kind of as it plays out. So anyway, that's what happens. And as you say, the interplay between the different writers, I'm sure that sort of same thing happens.
Oh, sure.
Among
and
the,
then, you know, there's a lot of lines that really kind of pop out for me, you know, kind of. It happens in the theater world, too. Where you went to school, who you know, that becomes really prevalent issues that you're dealing with as an actor, and it can be that's part of the grind that we talk about, you know.
The two roles that you both of you play, I would say really among the five roles are kind of almost equal roles, but the roles that you play, Kate is your character, and it's her apartment that this all mostly takes place in, and her journey through this play is really interesting.
Yeah. Kate's a really great character, and I relate a lot to her, and I think audience members do as well. She has a really interesting sort of arc throughout the play. You know, she's she has been successful, you know, in her academic career as a writer, but she finally sort of meets her match with this teacher. Someone finally tells her the truth about her writing after she gets patted on the back for years and years and years. And it's really hard on her, and it sends her, you know, on a very different path than she thought she was going to be. Something else that's fun about Kate is that she suffers from some unrequited love in this play as well. So that's a part of her journey, too. So
she also gets a lot of the laughs. I mean, really, it's one of the chief, the setup in the script, one of the chief things is that that character is really funny.
Well,
played by you, it's hilarious.
Well, like
I think, you know, really, it's a wonderful performance and a great role.
Thanks.
Yeah.
She's very earnest, and sometimes characters that take themselves very seriously end up being some of the funniest.
Right.
Yeah.
And then your character in the play is sort of the main talented writer, a little bit of a mystery throughout much of the play.
Right. He keeps a lot of his writing hidden. He just kind of, I think it's just it's a big step to put it out there, and you know, and it's kind of wrangling with that the whole show. So.
And in some ways, he's the one who's the most earnest about what writing is, about the writing process.
Right, he's very passionate about what writing should be, as far as, you know, he almost has a romantic quality to him. And the way he thinks about writing, which I appreciate.
Yeah, the other writers all have a little bit of an angle.
Right.
All the other Kate maybe not quite as much, but at a certain point, Kate does take this very different kind of angle in the play, which is really a fun,
more practical
twist. Yeah, on the play, but your character never does that and never wants to do that and sees the evil side of that and sees the downside of that. And it's a really interesting.
Yeah, before all the cynicism kicks in, you catch them when they're fresh.
Yeah, that's right.
But the one thing I would like to say about working in this show in particular is it's been a blast, because I think all of us had sort of worked with each other at some point. I'd done a couple shows with Allison already, and I'd done shows with Corin, Hugh Scandi, who plays Douglas, and Boston, who plays Hunter. And Allison and Meredith, they have known each other since pretty much birth. So
that's fun, right? Playing being in a play with
friends.
One of your best friends. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I think that all that kind of chemistry is coming across, and it's been great to work in an environment like that.
It's been really fun. I got to work on the technical end a little bit. It seems like months ago now, you know, but got to do it. And just to hear from people that don't even know I'm involved in this play, like, oh, have you seen this play? You know, there's word on the street. Yeah. There's real word on the street about this play. It's really a fun thing, because it's not one of your big, gigantic Oklahoma-type plays. You know, it's a set-piece kind of play, and a smart, witty. But, boy, when I saw it opening night, I mean, people bending over in their seats, holding their stomachs, laughing. You know, it was really so much fun to see an audience enjoy a play to the point where they're enjoying the play that's happening right now. So it's Seminar. It's playing right now. You guys, Thursday is your next performance,
Thursday
right?
Thursday is the next performance.
And
Thursday,
it goes
Sunday.
For another 2 weekends. Is that right?
Last Sunday is a matinee.
Okay.
And, well, before you, like, I just, everyone
before
needs
I throw
to
you
know.
Out, before the hook comes
yeah,
out here?
Okay. How good a job Andy did on the sound design. It really is good. It's nice. It's been nice being in a contemporary show where, you know, shows actually, the music you can relate with, and Andy did a great job, so.
Oh, here, well,
thank
bravo.
You. Thank you for saying that. All right. I told him he had to say that before he got it. But no, thank you, and thanks to both of you for coming in.
Yeah.
Have a great performance this weekend. Again, everyone is talking about how great this performance is. I can vouch for how great this show has been to watch. It's super fun time, smart, witty, and incredibly funny. Just like the ad says. All right. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck with your performance this weekend.
Thanks.
music there from Seminar, playing right now at Perseverance Theater. That's the little Black Keys. They're featured prominently in the play. And that's Girl Is On My Mind. And we got some Girl Scouts in the studio right now. Welcome to you. Sherry Paul is with us right now, and also Rachel McPherson. And also, Alana's here. Say hey.
Hi.
There. Oh, we got a little bit out of Alana there. But you can hear her on the PSA. Yes, for the dinner that's coming up. Tell me a little bit about the dinner.
Okay.
The fun thing is happening. Yes.
Going to begin. So thanks, Andy. So
sure.
Saturday night, beginning at 6, doors are open for the 21st Girl Scout auction. The proceeds of the auction always go to fund girls in Southeast Alaska to attend the many camps that Rachel will talk a little bit about.
They sound fun. These camps sound fun, right?
They're
when
really
I got to
fun.
Talk to the Girl Scouts before about all this different stuff, when I was a Boy Scout, they called them jamborees, right? So it's a similar thing to that, right?
We have something called encampment that's more like jamboree.
Oh, okay.
But camp is just awesome summer fun.
Camp is just camp.
Camp is camp.
Yeah, that sounds great. Tell me a little bit about the camp.
Well, there's actually lots of traveling summer day camps in Southeast. They're in Angoon, Gustavus, Hoonah, Cake, Ketchikan, Metlakatla, Petersburg, Prince of Wales Island, Sitka, and Wrangell.
All over.
And there's a day camp here in Juneau, and then Feather Winds, which is a resident camp, which is, you know, you get to spend the night for about a week and really, really go to camp.
So the auction and dinner, the proceeds of this go to supply the funds that allow the kids to go to these camps?
Yeah, for girls who need scholarships.
Okay.
Because we want every girl who really wants to go to camp to have the opportunity.
Great. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about let's talk about the auction first, maybe.
Okay.
Should we talk about the auction part of it first?
Sure.
Okay. So what's happening at the auction? Tell
me. Okay. So
the lots of good stuff.
We have our community. Oh, my gosh. This community is so awesome as far as donations to the auction. We have, you know, the wonderful Southeast plane rides, flight scene trips, Alaska seaplanes gave us two tickets to Gustavus and Wings, and then the helicopter tours, the Temsco and that sort of thing, Coastal, North Star. But what we also like to do is we like to package our gifts into really fun, fun different things like a night out on the town, night out in Juneau where we'll have a dinner and movie passes. And
those are always cool because then people can kind of build a little bit of a fun day around those kinds of
exactly.
packages, right? Yeah, that's
yeah.
really cool.
And like the Jack donated two tickets to the upcoming magic show with Zen, a dinner for four at Zen. So a family can have the night out.
Nice,
and
yeah.
We have a wonderful chocolate lover's basket that's filled with all different types of chocolate.
That sounds
and
good.
Wine.
You into chocolate? You want to win that one?
Alana.
Well, maybe not the wine, but the chocolate.
Alana wants to. There's two things Alana really wants. Our most exciting one is 6 nights in a 2-bedroom villa on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Wow.
So she wants to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, who wouldn't? I do too. Take me.
Exactly. And that's only a value of $1,000. So
yeah,
no
that's
problem.
One of the big ticket ones.
Yeah,
one of the special ones. Sure.
It's a 2-bedroom, so you can pack in good friends
and it's an auction.
Go.
Maybe you'll get a great deal, you know? Put in the bid. Yeah.
Another fun one is a tea party. Bee's Bistro is doing a tea party for 10 girls. And then we have, if you're too lazy to cook a dinner one night, Lorraine Durr will prepare dinner and bring it to your house. And
hey.
Who can beat that?
Yeah, that sounds great. So the auction, we should make it clear.
Okay.
Now, the auction isn't for Girl Scout age kids, right? This is for adults.
Correct.
Right?
Because the Viking Lounge is donating their time to come over, and there will be a bar supported by the Viking. And Abby's Kitchen is doing the catering.
Nice.
Jesse Keel and Ron Clark are volunteering their time to do the auction itself.
Very cool.
And it starts right at 6 for food, and then the auction itself, the live auction, will start at 6:30.
All right.
And more than the live auction, we have so many silent auction items.
Mm-hmm.
They And these are really good deals. There's some beautiful art statues and some more fun gift certificates for doing things in Juneau. There's jewelry.
So they have kind of a couple of tables set up that people can bid, and then throughout the night the tables just close, and then people can find out if they were the winning bidder and all that cool, fun stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And we also have wonderful desserts that have been donated that we will auction off, these delicious chocolate decadence, and we have some cheesecakes and... you know that North Douglas chocolate cake?
So
we
good.
Have a couple of those.
Oh, man. Those things are great. Well, so do people have to buy tickets for this, or how do they go about doing that?
So tickets you can purchase at the Jack, or you can call the Girl Scout office at 586-1710, and we will deliver tickets to you.
You can buy them online on the Jack website. They're also available there.
Is there entertainment for the night or music being played or stuff like that going on too?
Well, we're going to start out with a little camp song to get the night going.
Nice.
I think we have to do that.
Very good. And you know what's fun about it too is that even though this is an evening for adults, I'll bet there's a high percentage of those adults who were Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts when they were kids, right? And they know the benefits and how great and fun and really how much a part of becoming a great grown-up Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts can be, yeah.
Right. The one thing we also won't be doing is we're not going to sell cookies.
Okay, so that's out.
That is out because
this isn't about
cookies. It's not about cookies.
And there's going to be art on the tables made by girls, the centerpieces.
Right.
Oh, cool.
So there'll be hints of girls here
sure.
and there.
Yeah.
We are also having an ongoing video of Girl Scout camps throughout the state and some really old footage of Girl Scout camps that were donated by Florence Johnson, who's been helping us, that went to camp in the 60s.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So there'll be some really, really old-time photographs being shown of what camp was like back then.
Well, it's all happening Saturday at the Jack. It's the annual Girl Scout dinner and auction. You can get tickets at the Jack, or you can call the Girl Scout office. What's the number one more time?
586-1710.
And go to have a great dinner. Abby's Kitchen is catering. She does such good stuff. Plus, you can auction and buy a dessert and eat it.
And for those of you who are near a computer, you can go to the Girl Scout website,
girlscoutsalaska.org.
All right.
And the booklet is online now.
Terrific. And find out all about all the items there.
Yep. And our Facebook page has descriptions of all of the items and some pictures of some of the silent auction items.
Very good. All right. It's going to be a fun night. It's all happening. What time does it start?
6 o'clock.
Starts at 6 o'clock. It's at the Jack. It's the annual Girl Scout dinner and auction. Sherry and Rachel and Alana, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. Here's Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2013. Today is the first day of spring. It's the vernal equinox, when the Earth's axis is aligned with the center of the sun. Equinox coming from the Latin equus, meaning equal or level, nox, meaning night or darkness, the equinox, a time when day and night are as close to equal as they ever are. For people living equidistant from the equator, either north or south. And a time when gardeners start to come alive. Margaret Atwood wrote, "Gardening is not a rational act. What matters is the immersion of the hands in the earth. In the spring, at the end of the day, you should smell like dirt." It's the birthday of the playwright Henrik Ibsen, born in Skien, Norway, 1828, best known for his play A Doll's House, 1879, the story of Nora stuck in an unhappy marriage in a play that ends with Nora slamming the door and walking out on her husband. Henrik Ibsen, who had a hard time in Norway, described it as a free country peopled by unfree men and women, left Norway in 1864 for a life of self-imposed exile.
He had a very hard life abroad, lived in poverty. He and his wife was on the verge of a nervous breakdown in the winter of 1865, became seriously ill, high fever, almost died. And the next spring, his play Brand appeared in Norway. Henrik Ibsen could not even afford to pay the postage to write to his friends, telling them how much he was suffering. But then Brandt came out in 1866. It got great reviews. The king awarded Ibsen a pension, and he went on to write many plays, including Peer Gynt, A Doll's House, An Enemy of the People, and Hedda Gabler. It was on this day, 1852, that Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe was published. And it's the birthday in Stamford, New York, 1813, of the dime novelist Ned Buntline. Started out writing cheap dime novels about gangs and violence in New York, and then he went out west and met Buffalo Bill Cody and made up a whole story about Buffalo Bill, wrote a play about him, Scouts of the Prairie, which was pretty bad but made a lot of money. Ned Buntline's life was one big adventure. He fought in the Everglades in the Second Seminole War. He was an officer in the Civil War until he got a dishonorable discharge for drunkenness. Nonetheless, he loved to give temperance speeches. He was married 7 times, once jailed for bigamy. He flirted with a married woman named Mary Porterfield. Her husband challenged Buntline to a duel, which he accepted, and he killed Robert Porterfield, whereupon the townspeople tried to lynch Ned Buntline. They strung him up from an awning post, and at the last minute his friends cut the rope and he got away. Here's a poem for today by Liesl Mueller, entitled Fiction. Going south, we watched spring unroll like a proper novel, forsythia, dogwood, rose, bare trees, green lace, full shade. By the time we arrived in Georgia, the complications were deep. When we drove back, we read from back to front. Maroon went wild, went scarlet, burned once more, and then withdrew into pink, tentative, still in bud. I thought, if only we could go on and meet again, shy as strangers. Fiction, a poem by Liesl Mueller from her collection Alive Together, published by Louisiana State University Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Join me, Katie B., for the next KRNN Showcase, Americana, from Nashville to Alaska, with Harrison B. and C. Scott Fry, Wednesday, March 20th, 7 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater. Advance tickets, $10 at KRNN.org and the station, or $12 at the door. The Musical Journey, looking forward and looking back. Live music and conversation with Harrison B. and C. Scott Fry. We are just too different, but
that music sounds like that announcement you just heard. It's not a coincidence. Harrison B's with us in the studio. How you doing, man?
Good to be here. Yay. How you doing today?
Thank
man?
You so much for coming in. We're really here at KTOO, really looking forward to this great event that's happening tonight at Goldtown Nickelodeon.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You
man.
And C. Scott Fry getting together to talk about Americana. So tell me a little bit about what your idea about that kind of music and what that means to you.
You know, it's one of those words, and I feel like it floats around a lot, and it really is dependent on the person. And there's a mainstream ideology behind it, and a lot of it has to do with it being born of roots music, and I believe considering a storytelling folk style, and also, you know, in terms of production, keeping it pretty raw. For me, I don't necessarily subscribe to that classic kind of description. I'm all about American musics. I feel like they we've got as good a melting pot in terms of music that have funneled in as anybody. And for me, if it's styled out of where I'm from and I can make a connection with it, then I want to implement it in my playing. So for me, Americana, it's everything from the ones you would think of, like bluegrass and folk influences, to roots blues influences, all the way to now. I feel like we're getting to a turning point where hip-hop is an American music form, and we're putting some distance between the years it was created and modern day. And so more and more, I'm trying to work that in as well, because I believe it's just as firm as, you know, bluegrass was in the 60s and et cetera. You know, it's just right. We're right at that point where it's just far enough behind us to start coming around in a vintage kind of way.
Huh. So tell me a little bit about your history and your journey and how you got to Juneau, Alaska, of all places.
Absolutely. I got here just like every other 22-year-old kid did. I drove up, but, you know, I came in to do the seasonal work is what I did. I came in to work the zip line over there on Douglas Island. I guess it was about 3 or 4 years back now. But yeah, I just got
and from
a while
Tennessee,
here.
Is
I was
that...
from Tennessee, yeah. Born and raised right out of Nashville, Las Casas, this is city. And yeah, man, worked as a bartender half a year, made enough money, drove up, and that was just an experience.
And has music and playing music always been a part of your life?
It has, in various forms. Definitely not to the extent it has been since I kind of went all in a couple years back, but it was always floating around. But yeah, it's actually... been talking about this a couple of times today, but Juneau's really the first place I gave it a legitimate chance to stand on its own and be what I was about. So it's good to be back here. It's kind of a home away from home for me. So
before Juneau, when you were in Tennessee, you'd play occasionally, that kind of thing?
You know,
or would
I
you
did.
Even gig? Or yeah?
I tried a different route, though. You know, now I'm definitely trying to do my own independent thing, and I'm trying to do an original take on some music.
You didn't sell out before, did you?
Absolutely.
You did?
I was en route, Andy, to selling out.
You could see.
I was. That's exactly right.
Don't go towards the light.
I knew where we were going, and I didn't. I stopped myself short. And so when I came up here, I put the guitar down. I didn't pick it up for about half a year
between
the drive up here and the first part of being here. And actually,
now was that sort of an emotional thing, or were you just too busy, or
no.
Were you just not motivated, or what, or was it something that was just like you really felt you needed the distance? Or?
Yeah, I did need the distance, and I was very almost upset with myself for the way that I had chosen to try and go. And you got to understand, Nashville's a whole different beast. And when you get in there and you get around these scenes and these people and. And by no means am I talking trash about anyone. Different strokes for different folks, man. I always have believed that. For me in my life personally, there was not enough purpose lyrically and intently in this example that I was trying to set in that form of music.
But it's a big, powerful...
It's a machine,
machine.
Man.
It's huge. It's a business.
It's bigger than
And the producers and the people around that industry know what has worked in the past, and they've got formulas. And,
exactly
and
right.
You can imagine that someone who's got talent as a musician could be just... pushed into that mold and pushed out the other end, and there you go. There's your new country
exactly
star.
Right. Yeah. It's a science as opposed to an art, and there is art in it. That's one of the, you know, one of the pieces they need for the formula. But it's not everything, and it is a science. And I just wasn't ready for it, man. It wasn't for me. So I put distance. I came here, and actually, I've come full circle today. Or this tonight, that I will. The first song I ever played off that hiatus was in the Gold Town Theater.
Awesome.
180 Degrees South was on the screen. It crapped out about 30 minutes through. And during the intermission, my buddies kept daring me to get up there and play one. There was a guitar up there, and I did. I picked it up, played one song, and that was the reignition. So
wow, that's a great.
And I've always wanted to make it back,
story.
Real deal. So it's good to be back in there, man.
Well, you've got the guitar there sitting on your knee. You feel like playing one for us?
Let's
It'd be
do
great
it,
to hear one.
That
yeah,
sounds good. Let's do that Freedom song that we were here pumping through.
All right.
That you ain't never heard. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll say that we are just two different birds. Oh, yeah. Different birds. Oh, I said, different birds. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll say that we are just two different birds. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give them a choice when a voice and a big old helping hand. I take my spot in front of a big old four-piece band, yeah. I grab that microphone, I said, I grab that microphone. Give them a choice when a boy's in a big old four-piece band, yeah. Every day I'm talking, walking, begging, stealing my freedom. Freedom, 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 yeah.
help you, man. He say, help me help you, oh no. He said, what I seen you on, I seen your type before, yeah. He looked me dead and he said, he looked me dead and he said, he looked me dead and said, well, I seen your type before, yeah. Every day he's talking, walking, begging, stealing his freedom, 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 yeah. Oh, man, I say, well, every day I wake up and I'm thinking as I'm looking at my walking, right? Yeah, I'm a talking, right? Yeah, and I walk and I do them in my figure slight. Feeling kind of hungry, I should grab a bite. And as I'm dealing with the dealing of all this plight, discover the worth of these shades I like, and I begin to notice that I lost my sight. Pick up my hammer, then I start to write on a stone of the world. I know what I'm knocking in the wood in the bag, yeah, and all this light that across the wood, day in the dead of night. Won't stop, won't stop till they have. Andy, can I rap that a little bit faster, man? Would you mind?
Yeah, I think you should do it. Yes.
It's sunny, why not? And every day I wake up and this is gonna be my walking, right? My talking, right? You know what kind of do my figure slight? I feel kind of hungry, should grab a bite. And deal with the DNA of all this play. Let's go with these shades of like, and I begin to notice that I lost my sight. You'll pick up my hammer and I start to write on the stone of the world. I know what I'm not gonna roll around again. All this light did across the world in the dead night, and it won't stop, won't stop till they have that. That's sufficient. Freedom, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 I say.
All right. And thanks for backing up and doing it faster. I appreciate
hey,
that.
Hey, you're welcome. When I say it, I'm
Harrison B. there. And yeah, what's the name of that one?
That one's Freedom right there.
Freedom, yeah. That's what I was going to guess, but there you go. All right.
And if I didn't say
it. And there you go. Looking forward and looking back, and it's a life in music. Harrison yeah. B. and C. Scott Fry, which, of course, has an equally amazing story, mm-hmm. how he's here. The musical journey that C. Scott Fry's been on as well,
sure.
and people are real familiar with his great music as well. And it's all hosted by DJ Katie Bosler from KRNN.
Absolutely.
And it's starting tonight, 7 o'clock at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Tickets are still available at the door,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be available at 6:30. So this event, I'm telling you, this event's going to sell out, folks. And so get there early, 6:30, start lining up, and you can hopefully get in still at the door. It's only $12 to get in. And there you go, a little bit of a taste of what you're going to hear. Americana from Nashville to Alaska. Harrison B., thanks so much.
Hey, Andy, I
that
appreciate
was awesome.
You having me, man.
Yeah, that was really here, fun. All right. We'll hear a little bit right now from your album. This is the seventh cut off of your CD called Lately I.
That sounds good.
All right, here it comes.
I feel like I made it. 'Cause when that soul in surrounds me and I see all of these here and people who need it. So I take my two left feet and I keep the beat, man. I keep a sweet soul. And please let me finish. Ain't it funny how a groove can change your whole world?
More of Harrison B. there. Great stuff. And again, Americana from Nashville to Alaska, happening tonight at the Goldtown Theater. Starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets still available at the door if you don't have them yet. 6:30 is when the tickets will go on sale there at the door at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. Next coming up, we've got a really interesting thing happening. A Medicare discussion is happening tonight. Judith Benderski is with us right now. Judith, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Judith's with the State Department of Health and Social Services, and you are doing a Medicare information workshop kind of thing happening tonight.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. Well, I will be giving a seminar or a workshop for people that have questions about Medicare. It could be people that are turning 65 or caregivers or family members. And I'm basically going to go through all the moving parts of Medicare and talk about who needs to sign up for what parts, when, why, and fill in a lot of the blanks for folks that have questions.
Now, is this mostly for people who are getting towards 65 or in that area or just wondering what happens or maybe have already turned 65? Or what's do you have a kind of a target, an audience that you have in mind?
The audience that I have in mind are people who are in their 60s, worried about, thinking about, planning ahead for retirement and don't know how health insurance fits in. But a good 20% or so of Alaskans on Medicare are younger than 65, and they have disabilities, and they're also on Medicare due to the disability. So folks like that or their caregivers might also want to come.
What are some of the common things that you find that people have a misperception about when they're heading into these years, especially about how Medicare fits in with the rest of their health care?
Well, one of the misconceptions is that everybody has to sign up at 65. And that's not true. There are plenty of people that are working that have health insurance. And if that's the case, they don't have to sign up for Medicare.
But are there sometimes advantages to signing up for Medicare, even if you're working? Or can you still be working and receive Medicare? Or how does that?
Yeah, sometimes there's an advantage. And for couples where one person, for instance, is retired from the state, for instance, and has Alaska care, but that spouse... the spouse is actively working, there's typically some questions. Usually retiree health plans come or pay secondarily to Medicare. So there's a lot of confusion, especially by state active and retired Alaska care folks. There are people that sign up thinking that they had to. Because there are penalties for signing up late.
But they can sometimes be offset by the benefit you're getting by being in some other program.
That's right. Yeah. And late usually means that you didn't have any other health insurance and you just waited until you were sick to sign up. And then there can be penalties.
I see.
There's lots of questions around prescription insurance. Do I need to get it? What if I'm Alaska Native? What if I'm a vet? What if I retired from the feds? What if I have TRICARE? So I will address all those things. And then there are people that have questions about how much it costs and how to pay for those things. That kind of intersects with Social Security retirement benefits, and so I address those questions as well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, is it more complicated or less complicated than I think?
From the global perspective, it's very, very complicated, but I make it very simple for specific individuals by guiding them to what they need to know and what they need to do. Not everybody needs to understand all of Medicare. Like I do, but not everybody does.
You just need to understand what's best for you to do in the world and universe of all the different options you have when it comes to that.
Exactly.
Kind of
it's very individualized. So there's no best plan for one person. The best plan for that person is what makes sense for them.
And are you or other people, the people that work with you in the state, there as a resource for people at kind of any time when they have questions about this sort of stuff?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. We have a 1-800 call center that's based out of Anchorage. And then there are some counselors here in Juneau that are able to help us folks. And then there's the 1-800 Medicare number, a national number. When people then say that they live in Alaska, they're usually referred to my office in Anchorage.
Yeah, so that's so. But I guess what's interesting is that Medicare is a federally run program, right? So why is it that the state gets involved?
Well, Medicare is federal health insurance, but some portions of Medicare are overseen or regulated by each state, such as Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage plans, and those are real state-specific. So the federal government grants every state some funds, usually to the state health department or to the insurance department, and then there are people like myself that guide people in their state as to how Medicare works in that state. So there are some very state-specific idiosyncrasies.
Hmm. Well, this is happening tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's at the Juno Senior Center, which is there at West 12th Street, right at right down the street from Blockbuster Video and by Harborview School. It's at 895 West 12th Street. It starts tonight. It's happening tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock. And maybe one more time just to give people an idea of the things that you're hoping to cover tonight.
Well, what I'll cover tonight having to do with Medicare is enrollment options, when the best time is to enroll, what Medicare covers, what it doesn't cover, who should buy a Medigap policy, how the whole prescription drug regime works, and how to get extra help paying for premiums. I'll get there about 5:30 if people want to dash in for a quick question and then head out to this awesome concert later on in the evening.
Yes, that's true, yes.
That's a possibility. Or if they really need to soak in information to help plan ahead, I will be going over material till about, well, we'll see, 7:30, and stay until every last question is answered.
Wow, that's a commitment right there.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'd love to give you my 800 number just in case somebody can't make it. 1-800-478-6065, and that 800 number only works from within Alaska.
And that's a statewide number, a toll-free number. Anyone can call 1-800-478-6065 for any of these questions that you might have, whether you make it tonight or not. And if you don't make it tonight, you can call that number. And if you make it tonight and have further questions,
absolutely,
you can call that number as well. Once again, it's going from 6 to about 8 o'clock tonight at the Juno Senior Center. And it's Medicare information overview, enrollment options, and all that with Judith Benderski from the State Department of Health and Social Services. Judith, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know all about this.
Thank you very much.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow.
Tonight on 360 North, it's the BBC World News at 7 with Alaska weather at 7:30. At 8, experience a unique and humorous perspective on Alaska history on Alaska Statehood Pioneers in their own words, focusing this week on the life of former Governor Jay Hammond. That's followed by the Miller Center Forum, America Divided at 9, with Gavel Alaska coverage of the legislature resuming at 10. All tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Each year, tobacco companies spend $25 million on advertising in Alaska, and the state of Alaska spends $491 million on smoking-related medical expenses and lost productivity.
Sorry, boss. I'm sick again today. The doctor says there's something wrong with my heart.
Tobacco use costs Alaskans in lives, money, and time. Help reduce tobacco use with smoke-free policies and tobacco taxes. Policies, they really work.
This message is brought to you by the Partnership for a Smoke-Free Southeast.
Brothers with Blue Sky seemed appropriate for the beautiful weather we're having out there today. Folks at Eagle Crest can't get down the hill because it's spring break up there, so the mountain is open, but as if you couldn't guess, gorgeous conditions up there right now. They're saying a combination of fluffy, low-density snow remaining from yesterday is still up there, and it's combined with these beautiful clear skies, so it should be a great spring break ski day happening for the next few days here. The forecast is calling for partly sunny skies throughout the rest of the week into the weekend, with lows cold at night, so it'll keep that snow up there. Nothing's going to melt off that mountain, even though the skies are beautiful and sunny out there. Partly cloudy skies for tonight with lows 10 to 16 degrees, and partly cloudy for tomorrow with highs around 25 degrees. Mostly clear on Thursday night, and then Friday is where the increasing clouds might start happening, highs around 29 degrees. Slight chance of snow on Friday night, then mostly cloudy skies with only a slight chance of snow and rain throughout the weekend days. So maybe a little bit more snow even up on Eagle Crest there. Well, thanks so much for all of the people that came in and talked to us today on a Juneau afternoon for this Wednesday, including the folks from Seminar. Once again, great play, great music. I did the music, that's why I'm saying it. It's a great play even without the music, whatever. But thanks so much to Meredith Hinckley-Schmidt and Enrique Bravo, two great actors that came in, talked to us about the play. They resume for their last two weekends starting on Thursday, and I encourage you to go see that show, Seminar. The Saturday annual Girl Scout dinner and auction is happening at the Jack, so check that out. Harrison B. is playing tonight with C. Scott Fry. Tickets are still available at the door starting at 6:30 at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Americana, part of the KRNN Showcase concert. And Harrison B., thanks so much for coming in and playing some great music live here in the studio of KTOO. That was really fun. Judith Bendersky with the State Department of Health and Social Services will be doing a Medicare discussion tonight that's happening at the Juneau Senior Center. And that starts at 6 o'clock going to 8 p.m. That's down at the Senior Center there at 895 West 12th Street. And once again, starts at 6 o'clock, goes for a couple hours. All of your questions about Medicare turning 65 and figuring out enrollment options, coverages, what's not covered by Medicare, and all the other stuff, she'll be there to answer your questions. Thanks to everyone who came in for a Juneau afternoon today. Here's a little bit more of the Allman Brothers with Blue Sky, and then we'll hear from All Things Considered. Once again, you've been listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. I'll talk to you tomorrow, hosting tomorrow's show as well. We'll be having another great lineup of guests. And NPR's All Things Considered coming up next.
Let me say as clearly as I can.